Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 41 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
The grounds there saw, you know, the early formation of the town of Moorhead, issues during the Civil War.
A documentary about Rowan County's historic courthouse will be screened tomorrow.
A local business owners are partnering with the Kentucky Folk Art Center in Moorhead.
Kentucky's bourbon industry set new records for production.
A Kentucky Senate candidate took their message to national television.
A new employment opportunity is coming to Floyd County.
In sports, Rowan County volleyball goes for the regional title tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Cloudy tonight with a low around 28. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
A documentary about the history of what is now the Rowan County Arts Center will be screened there tomorrow evening. The documentary, titled Echoes from the Hallways of the Historic Old Rowan County Courthouse, along with the viewing, the event includes a reception, live music, food, and a Q&A session following the film. Steve Middleton directed, edited, and co-produced the documentary. He says the project gives viewers an insight to the structure located there today and the ones before.
The log structure was torn down to build a bigger courthouse because the population was growing. That courthouse, Civil War marauders came through here looking for horses and actually burned the courthouse down. The third courthouse was then constructed, and it lasted until 1899 when it was torn down to make room for what's standing there now.
Doors open at the Rowan County Arts Center tomorrow evening at 6, with live music set to begin at 6:30.
Some local business owners are partnering with the Kentucky Folk Art Center to promote local artists. Patrons of Sawstone Brewery can now see several works of art being showcased in the establishment. The art they display will also be available for purchase. Derek Caskey is a co-owner and brewer at Sawstone.
We've got lots of local artists. Man, we're gonna try and feature as many as we can, and we'll probably have them on a couple months rotation. And all the pieces are for sale, and we just kind of want to highlight and showcase all the wonderful artists that we have here in our hometown.
Caskey says they will also be highlighting a painting of the week on the brewery's Facebook page, with different works rotating in and out of the brewery through the year.
Kentucky's bourbon industry set new records for production in 2018. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has the story.
The Kentucky Distillers Association says in a Facebook post that Kentucky now has 2 barrels of bourbon and aging spirits for every person living in the Commonwealth. At more than 9 million barrels, WKYT reports that this is the highest inventory in the 52 years that the KDA has kept records. Officials with Kentucky's Distillers Association say that the Commonwealth's bourbon industry creates more than 20,000 jobs and generates $8.6 billion for the economy. 2019 is the first year since 1967 that distillers filled more than 2 million barrels. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
The Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife is increasing efforts to prevent the spread of a disease that afflicts deer and elk herds. The agency is asking for help from hunters in preventing chronic wasting disease from crossing into the state as the fall season begins. The neurological disease kills deer, elk, moose, and caribou and has spread around the country since it was discovered in Colorado in the 1960s. State officials say the disease has never been detected in Kentucky, but 6 neighboring states have cases of the disease. Kentucky has made it illegal to bring whole carcasses of deer, elk, moose, and caribou into the state. State Fish and Wildlife officials are asking hunters to alert the agency of any sick deer or elk.
The final day of Keeneland's fall meet drew a crowd of protesters who say they are against cruelty in the horse racing industry. More than a dozen protesters stood across the street from Keeneland with signs reading, "Horse racing is animal cruelty." As they were out, another group of people who support the industry began to form next to the protesters with signs reading, "Honk if you love horse racing." The supporters believe the protesters just don't understand how the industry works.
It's our industry. It's a big business. You know, we do try to all stick together, and, you know, we don't want to see it go down.
They don't understand that we actually do love our horses and that we, I mean, it breaks your heart when something happens.
While protesters plan to keep pushing to end horse racing, supporters say they won't be silent on their end.
The University of Kentucky is conducting research to help improve the safety of the equestrian industry for both horses and riders. During the research, riders are monitored on an electronic horse named Charlie, who acts and feels like a real horse. The riders are hooked up to camera sensors, and researchers monitor their movements. UK Assistant Professor of the College of Public Health, Dr. Kimberly Tumlin, says the research can not only help the rider better understand what they can do to improve their skills, but UK can also collect more information on how to improve safety for future generations of riders and horses.
We want to flip the paradigm to really focus on the equestrian athlete, and that's any individual that's interacting with those horses that can impact the safety of those animals.
Research is still in the early phases of testing, but UK hopes to monitor riders of several skill sets to gain more information.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet has unveiled a new plan to widen the intersections where two central Kentucky interstate roads meet. The I-64 and I-75 split would have four 12-foot lanes in both directions. The ramps at Newtown Pike and Paris Pike would be adjusted to increase the flow of traffic and allow for easier merging. Commuter Beth Renfro tells WKYT the project would drastically improve her day-to-day.
The purpose of this project is to try to relieve some of the congestion and improve the safety from the standpoint of the conditions we have now. Truck acceleration on a ramp is part of the problem that we're having now.
Lawmakers have the final say of when the project will start, but the KYTC is hopeful to begin next year.
The Kentucky Association of School Superintendents gathered Tuesday to present a united front on issues they see as paramount heading into the 2020 legislative session. Buddy Perry with Eminence Independent Schools said the state's education funding used to account for a little over half, 52%, of all state spending. Over the course of two decades, that number has slipped to 43%.
I'm an old high school math teacher. If you kept the amounts the same, you'd be having almost $1 billion more in funding right now.
At the top of the superintendent's wish list is an ability to recruit and retain teachers and ensure enough resources for schools. The leaders are also calling on the General Assembly to fully fund new school safety measures passed during the 2019 session. As it stands, the superintendents say the burden of education funding is shifting from the state to the local districts.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Democratic Kentucky U.S. Senate candidate Amy McGrath took her message to late night Wednesday as she was interviewed by NBC's Seth Meyers. McGrath, who is running to unseat Republican Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, was asked about running as a Democrat in a state that went overwhelmingly for Trump in 2016. She responded by again stressing her independence and willingness to work with any party if it's what's right for Kentucky.
You know, we have the potential here for the commander-in-chief who potentially withheld security aid, military aid, to a partner who is being invaded by our adversary. Think about that. And did it for potentially personal political reasons.
Quizzed on the impeachment inquiry in the House, McGrath said she views it from a national security perspective.
Created in 1934, the Export-Import Bank lends loans to foreign countries to buy U.S. goods. Conservatives had pushed to defund the bank in 2015, but Democrats reversed course. The agency is again on the chopping block as House lawmakers have been unable to cut a deal. Congressman Andy Barr introduced an amendment that would make any subsidies to China contingent on the country honoring its treaty obligations in Hong Kong, which has seen ongoing protests over proposals to allow extradition to mainland China.
Well, now we have just one single condition in my amendment, and it has to do with China's abiding by formal commitments to the people of Hong Kong. The Financial Services Committee has an opportunity now to stand with Hong Kong by adopting this amendment. The Export-Import Bank has no place subsidizing the Chinese government while it's cracking down on demonstrators in Hong Kong.
There have also been challenges to the Exim Bank from the left, with progressives arguing the U.S. should limit loans to fossil fuel companies who are contributing to climate change.
A felony case has been opened regarding alleged threats made on social media by a student in Fleming County. The Ledger Independent reports the threats were made specifically about a shooting at Fleming County High School. Flemingsburg police are conducting the case for second-degree terroristic threatening. The child accused of making the threat has been suspended pending the investigation. They have yet to be charged, but that could change in the coming days.
A Lexington man charged with murdering a Marine will spend the rest of his life in prison. KNN's Haley Hansen reports.
Dewan Malazam was sentenced to life without parole for the death of Jonathan Price. Price and his wife were shot outside of a Lexington bar in 2014. Price, a Marine, died from his injuries. Prosecutor Catherine Webster.
And they said it's rough because when he's locked up, they can't see him. How does the Price family feel? They can't call Jonathan on the phone. They can't email him. They can't go visit him except in a graveyard.
Malazam is already serving a 60-year sentence for the robbery connected to the case. I'm Haley Hansen.
Now taking a look at your region's weather. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 28. Friday, widespread frost, mainly before 11 a.m., otherwise partly sunny, then gradually becoming more sunny with a high near 46. Friday night, widespread frost, mainly after 1 a.m., otherwise clear with a low around 30. Saturday, widespread frost before 10 a.m., otherwise increasing clouds with a high near 50. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 27. And now taking a look at current temperatures in the WMKY listening area, it's currently 39 degrees in Lexington, 40 degrees in Winchester and Mount Sterling, 47 degrees in Ashland, 44 degrees in Grayson, 48 degrees in Inez, and it's 41 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
It's 4:43 here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Cody Robinson, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this chilly Halloween afternoon. Lori Likens has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
Head to the final round. For WNKY Sports, I'm Lori Likens. The title match for the 16th Region Volleyball Championship will be in Rowan County tonight. The Vikings will face off with Boyd County after picking up the win over Russell last night. Head coach Steve Walters says there's a lot of tension heading into tonight's game.
With the big gun Russell in our side of the bracket, that kind of dominated our thoughts in preparing. So we just generally prepared for both West and Boyd. It ends up it's against Boyd, which, you know, we've played them twice this year, and they beat us twice. So I'm nervous as a cat right now. Couldn't hardly sleep last night. So it's one of those things.
First serve this evening is set for 7 o'clock. The Rowan County football team is gearing up for their final regular season game this week. The 5-4 Vikings host Montgomery County. The Indians are 3-6 on the season. Head coach Kelly Ford says the team has a strong defensive line.
Allen Ennis, another defensive lineman. He's having a blowout year this year on the defense side of the ball. Devin Davis, call him Mr. Utility. He's a kid that whatever position we ask him to play, he has stepped up and played for us. Will Cox plays both sides, quarterback, safety, loves to run his mouth all the time. Nathan DeSant, he's been a kicker for us. Nate's a good kid, comes to practice every day and does his drills and gets ready to call and does the situation. Dawson Kegley, another one of our leaders defensively. And he plays a little offense on fullback a little bit. Been one of our top defensive guys, 100 tackle the last 2 years.
Kickoff this Friday in Moorhead is set for 7:30 p.m. The Moorhead State University football team is hoping to bounce back this week after falling to Drake last weekend. The Eagles fell on the road in that game 36-17. Head coach Rob Tenier says the result of the game was a little hard to take, but his guys know what they need to do when they host Dayton Saturday.
It was disappointing because it's a game that we felt we could have won. And right now it's coming down to making plays at the most important times and playing with consistency and executing. And I think that's going to be really important as we go into this game this week. And that's been our focus.
Kickoff from Jane Stadium Saturday is set for 1 o'clock. The Moorhead State University women's basketball team is continuing to work before their season gets underway. Regular season play is still a couple weeks away, but the Eagles will play an exhibition game against Hills Day tomorrow evening. Head coach Greg Todd says his team has been putting in the time, and it should be a good matchup.
They've been working very hard, got in great condition, and now working on the skills. We've been working very hard, and Hillsdale's Division II school. That'll be a tough matchup for us, I think.
Tip-off Friday is set for 7 o'clock in Johnson Arena. The Moorhead State University baseball team has released its schedule for the 2020 season. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
26 home games highlight the slate, as well as games against Michigan State, Louisville, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Ohio State. The Eagles are coming off a school record 26 home victories in 2019, ranking in the top 5 nationally in home winning percentage. The home opening weekend will pit the Eagles against Missouri Valley Conference foe Southern Illinois. Last year, the teams played a 3-game set at SIU. The Ohio Valley Conference 30-game slate will feature home series with Belmont, UT Martin, Austin Peay, last year's tournament winner Jacksonville State, and Tennessee Tech. The OVC tournament will be held at Rent One Ballpark in Marion, Illinois again this year and is set for May 19th. For WMKY Sports, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
This evening's Thursday night football features a matchup between the undefeated San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. San Francisco took down the Carolina Panthers Sunday 51-13. While some might think the quick turnaround can cause issues for a team, Coach Kyle Shanahan says it has actually seemed easier for his team. He spoke with the 49ers.com.
I'm still confused on what day it is right now. So, it's different when you play these Thursday games. Sunday ends so fast, and Monday those guys are resting, so we don't get to see them. But we put everything in yesterday, and it's been kind of crazy all morning trying to get a bunch in. We're going to go out here and practice a little bit later. And then tomorrow we'll try to make tomorrow a Friday and Saturday combined. Sunday will be our fast.
Kickoff in Arizona tonight is set for 8:20. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the early favorite for the Kentucky Derby could be determined this weekend at the Breeders' Cup Championships at Santa Anita. Here's Paul Miles.
Friday's Breeders' Cup card is highlighted by the $2 million juvenile. The morning line favorite, Dennis's Moment, seems to like the Santa Anita track, according to exercise rider Tammy Fox.
Freaking good. Scary good. Really? I was so happy with him today. I've been happy with him the whole time that we've been out here.
Dennis's Moment won a maiden race at Ellis Park by 19 lengths. The winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile will likely be the early favorite for next year's Kentucky Derby. I'm Paul Miles.
And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Lori Likens.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball opens their season with an exhibition game hosting Hillsdale College tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Men's basketball welcomes Samford at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, November the 5th. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
On our feature segment today, the Morehead State University soccer team ended their season with another loss. WMKY's Ty Martin has the story.
The Eagles had records of 4-12-2 overall and 2-6-2 in the Ohio Valley Conference. Head coach Warren Lipka says the injuries affected his team's performance this year.
You know, the girls did their best. They worked their hardest. It's just not enough time to get them back healthy. But that injury bug just decimated our team. And, we had 13 of our 22 on the medical list, and that's absurd. When you go week in and week out and you just lose players and then try to get them back with 2 weeks left in the season, it's just a tough thing to do.
Lipka says he isn't disappointed with the season as a whole, just disappointed with the injury stint the team went through.
Season, and before we, you know, when our staff was together during the summer making our plans, and very, very excited. Very excited and looking forward to it. And it's hard. It's hard on everybody. It's hard on the coaching staff. It's hard on the kids. And we just want to get healthy. We want to be able to show them that we have the group. We got to get them to the part where they can compete.
The Eagles have 4 new commits coming in to get started right away.
You know, they're filling the holes that we knew that were going to be vacated. So, you know, everything's in place. All we got to do is rub the magic ball and make sure we don't run into any injuries like we did in the past.
Lipka added that the team's most important part of the year is springtime. That way they can mesh together and get a feel for their roles on the season.
Preseason's too short to get them to gel together. When you add on 7 or 8 freshmen, the spring is a time where we can really work together and get our system down and get our roles down and kind of move forward. So we're actually really looking forward to getting people back and healthy and getting them training without it, not have to worry about them getting hurt.
The Eagles will return to the field next fall. A full schedule is expected sometime this spring. For WMKY, I'm Tom Martin.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell despite better-than-expected earnings from Facebook and Apple, and also the Federal Reserve's third rate cut of 2019 failed to lift the markets today as investors took a pause and turned their focus to U.S.-China trade negotiations. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 140.46 at 27,046.23. The S&P 500 was down 9.2 at 3,037.57, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 11.61 at 8,292.36. It was reported earlier today that Chinese officials have been casting doubt over the possibility of a long-term trade deal with the U.S. The report added that Chinese officials are concerned about President Trump's impulsive nature and the risk of him backing out of any kind of a deal. And this put pressure on trade-sensitive stocks. Caterpillar was down almost 2%, while chipmaker Micron Technology was down 1%. The major indices still had a good month of October overall. And, of course, we are now going into a seasonally strong time of the year, which is giving many analysts a measure of optimism going into the end of the year. Treasury bond yields dropped today, a day after the Fed's announcement that they themselves are dropping interest rates, and this put pressure on bank stocks. The benchmark 10-year yield dropped around 11 basis points to finish at 1.68%, and Bank of America and Citigroup both dropped at least 1%. J.P. Morgan was down about 0.625%, and the Spider S&P Regional Banking ETF was down 1.5%. Apple shares were very strong today, up 2.3% after the tech giant posted earnings per share of $3.03 on revenue of $64 billion, which was better than what analysts had anticipated. Facebook was up 1.8% after the social media company reported a profit of $2.12 a share, which again topped estimates. Also in corporate news, Italian-American automaker Fiat Chrysler announced a landmark merger with French rival PSA Peugeot Citroën, which will create the world's fourth largest car maker. And also in local corporate news, Marathon Petroleum announced that they will spin off the Speedway unit as a separate trading company. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1.8% at $54.05 a barrel. Gold was up 1.18% at $1,513.80 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a weak day with the Stock 600 index down 0.5%. In Asia, markets were mixed with the Nikkei up 0.3% and the Shanghai Composite down 0.3%. Turning out to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 16 cents at 43.81, Kroger down 9 cents at 24.65, CSX down 78 cents at 70.27, Marathon Petroleum down 2.20 at 63.99, and Anthem was down 4.40 to finish at 269.06. Reporting from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made-from-scratch cakes, pies, and cookies, scones, braids, and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Taking another look at your region's weather, tonight cloudy with a low around 28. Friday, widespread frost, mainly before 11 a.m., otherwise partly sunny, then gradually becoming more sunny with a high near 46. Friday night, widespread frost, mainly after 1 a.m., otherwise clear with a low around 30. Saturday, widespread frost before 10 a.m., otherwise increasing clouds with a high near 50. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 27.
Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, Moorhead and Rowan County families are invited to the annual Just Say Boo to Drugs at the Laughlin Health Building tonight from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. The free event is open to everyone in the community for an evening of trick-or-treating in a safe environment, candy games and bounce houses, and free admission.
The Star Theater at Moorhead State University offers public planetarium shows every Saturday at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Each one-hour show features a full dome video presentation followed by a star talk highlighting what visitors can see in their own backyards. Schedule and visitor information can be found at moorheadstate.edu/startheater.
Cornbread and Tortillas will perform at 6:30 p.m. on Friday, November 1st in the Button Drill Room at Moorhead State University. Cornbread and Tortillas is a performance group of Appalachian and Latin musicians, dancers, and storytellers. The performance is free and open to the public.
High school juniors, seniors, and transfer students are invited to an open house at Moorhead State University from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, November 2nd. Information about financial aid, housing, admissions, and campus life. Campus tours will also be available.
The Rowan County Caring and Sharing Alzheimer's Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Monday, November 4th at the Rowan County Library. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or a related disorder are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education, support, and information about caregiving issues.
Coffee Tree Books on Main Street in Moorhead will feature a public reading by author Sean L. Corbin at 6 p.m. on Thursday, November the 7th. Corbin will read from his selected poems. The event is free and open to the public.
The Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling presents a concert by the 100th Army Band of Fort Knox at 7 p.m. on Friday, November 8th. Admission is free. Donations will be accepted for the Veterans Pavilion.
Flemingsburg First United Methodist Church on West Main Street welcomes Christian Music Hall of Fame artists, the Gospel Harmony Boys, at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, November 10th. A covered dish meal follows the concert service, and the public is invited.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Lori Likens, Michael Green, Zoe Hall, Shamari Mosley, Chaz Jenkins, and Cody Robinson. WUKY's Josh James, KNN's Haley Hansen, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Ty Martin. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.